from the crypt.
Hello, boys and ghouls. Welcome to episode 141 of Dads from the Crypt. It's a long story. Don't worry about it. My name is Jason, and tonight I'm joined by Mondo.
Hey, Jason.
Hi, and Jody.
Hello.
Hello. Switching things up a little bit tonight.
Getting loose. I never know what to do when you do that.
Yeah, neither. I always think about my head like, yeah, I'll do something funny, and I'm like, I got nothing. I'm going to learn a new language, a new way to say hello every week in a different language, and we're just going to go with that. Like,
well, sure. No.
My son learned how to say hello in Chinese, so he just goes up to everyone saying "ni hao."
Ni hao. Yeah, that was a kid show for a while there that had like "ni hao" in the name, and so my kids knew that word of Chinese. That's about it.
Yeah. So how we doing? We doing good?
Doing great, Jason. Doing great.
Yeah. I'm here for this episode, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, we tried doing this one time without Jody. It did not go well.
No.
It was mainly Jason's fault. But he's going to take it on the chin.
I always hear Jason being blamed, but I haven't seen any proof that Jason actually did anything.
Definitely not his fault. I figured if I timed my edible right, it would kick in like middle of recording and Jody be here to keep things together, and that didn't happen, so I did not keep it together.
that's a primary reason why I've switched to inhaled forms, just because the timing is so imbalanced with the edibles. I never know what's going
on. I'm trying a different brand right now because I got them on sale over the holiday weekend. Apparently it's a holiday, I guess people call it that. Yeah. It's kind of weird.
420 holiday weekend.
But I got a different brand because they're on sale, and it doesn't hit me like my Wild does, which is my favorite brand. Yeah. It still hits me, but it takes way longer.
Yeah, I do think it's fun to take one right before I start putting the kids to bed to see like how long, like if I can gauge it so it's starting to hit right after. With the whole process of kid.
Jason's just asleep in one of their beds, and they're just staring at him like, "Dad."
There have been nights where I'm like, I'm really comfortable. Should I just sleep in here?
I get it.
You know, like we have a thing, me and my wife, where it's very often one of us will sleep on the couch, not because like we're mad at each other or something. It says, huh, mm-hmm. This is where I laid down at before we went to bed watching TV, and I'm just comfy now.
Right.
I'm not moving.
I got sleepy.
Or it's a little bit too, I don't like the climate in my room, so I'll just go downstairs and sleep. Like it's never like a negative thing.
Yeah. All right, well, let's roll into this episode. We're covering Creepshow Season 1, Episode 5, came out October 24th, 2019. We have two episodes, both of them directed by John Harrison. The first is called Night of the Paw, Jody.
All right, in Night of the Paw, we meet Angela, who is a murderer on the run. We'll get to what she did. She crashes her car and is left badly injured, like big pieces of wood sticking out of her. And she wakes up in a funeral home with her injuries all patched up and finds that the local mortician, Whitey, is the person responsible. Whitey's a name. It sure is. Inviting her upstairs, he shows her that he possesses a monkey paw. And the monkey paw, you know, it does what monkey paws do. They grant wishes but cause trouble. And he goes into the backstory of the monkey paw. He and his wife got it from a deceased client. And she made some like little wishes about like finding her recipe that she couldn't find and all this. But then she made a big wish. And her big wish was to have a lot of money because their business was having trouble. And the business did get a lot of money when she died. Classic monkey paw. It's what it does. Like, you don't wish for money in monkey paws. Somebody's going to die.
That rascally monkey paw.
What's that?
That rascally monkey paw strikes again.
Yep. You just word of advice, never ask for money with a monkey paw. It's always insurance. That's the only kind of money it gives you. anyway, so he then used the same monkey paw to wish her back to life. But she became a zombie. She was, well, first off, he realized that wishing her back to life, like, she never showed up. And he's like, oh, crap, she's in a grave. She can't show up. And so he went and opened up her grave and found this really cool zombie makeup zombie. But he had to kill her because she attacked him and had to attack her with a shovel. The next morning, he tells Angela that her arrival at the funeral home isn't a coincidence because he wished for a murderer to put him out of his misery. And that's where we find out that Angela is a murderer because she performed a mercy killing on her husband who was dying. And then he gives her the monkey paw and she throws it in the fire. And he goes to get it out, grabs it, and like his hand instantly catches on fire, his arm catches on fire, and his face catches on fire, and he's like, Angela, shoot me. And as soon as she shoots him, all the fire goes away and he's dead. But then she picks up the monkey paw, all three of the fingers unfurl, ready for new wishes. And so she goes and finds her husband in the morgue, and she is the least careful person with the monkey paw because you have to be very specific if you're gonna monkey paw wish, and she just says get up. And when she says get up in the morgue, not only her husband, but every other body in the morgue sits up, and her husband begins to eat her as the monkey paw once again clenches its fingers down.
They also, she also used her first two wishes on finding the car keys and and having the engine start, which that was kind of weird to me because I thought you had to be like, do you have to say, monkey paw, please grant me this, sir?
Yeah, she's just thinking
like
it.
Aladdin, where like he has to tell the genie like directly, like she just says like, I can't find the keys. Where are they? And then the keys just fall off from the visor, which no one really keeps the keys up there.
No one has ever done that
in movies all the time.
Yeah. Like, so like that, I was like, okay, monkey paw.
It's so what I've learned, this particular monkey paw grants small wishes just fine. Like, they find recipes, they find keys, they get the car going. Like, for normal stuff, it's fine. Just don't bring anyone back from the dead or ask for large amounts of money. Like, it's a convenience monkey paw. Like, it's just there to make things a little easier.
It just wants you to be humble and have some humility in your wishes.
That's right.
I wonder if, like, on the other side of the monkey paw, there's, like, instructions written about the things like, do not wish for money or people back from the dead. Everything else is good, but no one ever turns it over.
I think the problem with a monkey paw would be I could be driving somewhere and someone would cut me off. I'm like, I hope you die, asshole. And his car just bursts into flames. I'm like, I mean, not that upset, but
watching the finger curl up over there. Like, shit.
What did you think of this episode?
I really enjoyed it. Just get some nitpicks out of the way. I think I already did kind of with the monkey paw and the keys kind of bothered me and the CGI fire.
Yeah,
those are the things I did not like about this. But other than that, I thought, and those are just small nitpicks on an episode, I thought was pretty fantastic. I love the way they play the red herring at the beginning where you see her shooting her husband and she takes the wedding ring off. Because you're thinking like, oh shit, she just killed this guy in the hospital. And then they are alluding to her the whole time being the killer. And at the end, when it wraps back around, you see why she killed him. I thought that was a really, really cool way to tell her story. I also question why you would, if any of you guys ever need a mercy killing, if you're ever like, I just want euthanasia and I'm done, and you hire me to do this, when I say hire, if you just ask me to do it, I'll be sad, but I'll do it. I'm not going to fucking shoot you with a gun in the head. And through the
eyeball.
I don't think I'm going to do that. I'm probably just going to smother you with a pillow or put cyanide in the fucking the drip. I don't know.
When someone comes to you and says, you know, I'm in pain, please kill me, and you pull out a chainsaw, you've just been waiting for an opportunity. Like,
thank you. Rush you with my hockey mask and machete. He'd be like, this is how Jason wanted to go.
Along. Thank you for giving me
this. If you want to make Jason's death be the most memorable, what you would do is you would hire a
snake charmer.
You'd kill him. You'd go to kill him, but first you'd expose yourself, showing that you have a penis. I'll sleepaway camp, and then chop the shit out.
Okay.
I thought you'd be like a snake whisperer or a snake charmer to go after me.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you call a penis. That's fine. Would you call yourself a snake charmer, Jason?
If you're Kid Cudi, then.
You would charm the snake.
There we go. I'm no Brittany Snow, but anyways, Jody, what'd you think?
I like this. I like Monkey Paw's stories. Like, they're all, it's the same thing every time. Don't make wishes on a monkey paw. It's going to go bad. I like seeing how it goes bad. It's always fun to see, you know, how everyone screws up. I love that Tales from the Crypt episode where, you know, she wishes him back from the dead, but he had a heart attack. And then she wishes for him to be like he was before. You know, it's the same thing. All these stories are the same, but they're fun. I just like seeing things not go the way you expect. And that's every Monkey Paw story. There's a great YouTube. Well, it's a short film. So it's on YouTube now, though, on Alter, called We Got a Monkey's Paw. One of the funniest shorts I've ever seen. Go watch it. It's 8 minutes long. Alter's a great place for short films anyway, but it's another Monkey Paw story. And I will always like these kind of stories. I like Bruce Davies in this. He does a great job. The lead lady, I don't know her name. He does a great job. It's a good episode. It's a good episode. Good story. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah. I love this episode. Like you said, Bruce Davison, who's just really a legend. He has like 300 he just pops films, up in everything. Something ridiculous.
He's an awesome.
He was the original Willard. He was on Tales from the Crypt episode. He was an X-Men. He was recently in Suitable Flesh. He always gives a great performance. And like, yeah, it's a Monkey Paw episode, but they like come up with these really intricate backstories to really make you care about these characters. So it's not just like, oh, what's the Monkey Paw? We know what Monkey Paw is going to do. Nothing's like shocking. But they're able to like make it more like Greek tragedy almost. With this, which I really liked. I love the little comic sections they have in this look really cool. And I can confirm that they actually got the original artist from the movie.
Oh, cool.
That's
awesome. That's awesome.
And then I love in the last scene when all the corpses sit up, and they have those splashes of color that, like, obviously it's not going to be in the morgue, but like, it's very reminiscent of the Creepshow movie. That was a really cool fact. I like when they're in the graveyard, which is obviously just a soundstage, and like there's no back. There's like no, like they just have like a black cloth up.
It's
like the
background. It's a great aesthetic, though.
I thought it was really cool.
Yeah, I love that DIY aesthetic when you can just when it still looks good, but you can tell they had to be creative with it. It's always
endearing. And they're using like all these Dutch angles, like to the side and stuff. Again, John Harrison always kills it, and I just love this episode. Just all everything kind of comes in. Yeah, you can nitpick a couple things. The fire looks really crappy, but like they could have gone over it with another comic thing, but like they can only do that so many times.
If they're gonna spend their budget on special effects, the fire looking a little crappy for that badass looking zombie, like I'd spend your money on that zombie. That zombie was cool.
That zombie was really cool. It always freaks me out in those kind of things where they have to, like, cut the stitches out of the mouth. The thought of that always freaks me out. But
I'm just at this point when I die, I'm just like, just donate my body to science.
My wife's always wanted to do that. She's a biology chemistry double major in college, so she did all the anatomy classes, and she's like, I do that. Like, let me teach other people about how to do stuff. Which is a weird thing for the people left behind, but like it's a cool way to use, you know, what you don't need.
It's organic. Organic matter.
Yeah, again, Bruce Davison's performance, like he like has this like the way he was talking about God and the, you know, the talking about these two Christians who commit suicide. There's just a lot of really interesting writing and thoughts that they kind of put what could have been a very straightforward episode, but like they really.
So about that piece, I feel like if you're religious and your intention is to get someone to kill you, I feel like God being an omnipresent being would know this and still send your ass to hell.
I got you. I tricked you.
I have read the Bible before, which made me a non-believer, but but God had no problem slighting people for the smallest of missteps. I don't think. He was definitely a stickler for the details. So,
I feel like this maybe is more of a Catholic thing with the suicide being a mortal sin.
I don't know. I'm not Catholic, so I've never been to Catholic church. But I think that's how it works.
Oh, I went to Catholic school and grew up Catholic, and yeah. See how that worked out.
All right. All right, let's move on to the next episode.
All right. Love the title of this one. Times is tough and musky holler. This feels like my neck of the woods here. I'm not far from musky holler out here. All right, so in Musky Holler, we have a zombie apocalypse that has plagued the town. And when the zombies came, a local used car salesman named Lester M. Barclay used the chaos to convince the city council to make him the new mayor. And once he was put in power, he stopped the zombies and ruled the town with an iron fist. He had people murdered, including his predecessor. He had a new sheriff installed, Sheriff Deke, played by David Arquette. And his loyal police officers and Sheriff Deke proceeded to go through the town, murdering and raping people as they pleased, including the original sheriff. And they spread propaganda about the laws. And meanwhile, the town pastor and his wife and adult son claimed that Lester was doing God's work. And the news director, Don, had willingly broadcast Lester's lies, and a local woman named Leslie Ann spread gossip that led to the death of innocent people. So all these, this handful of people, this is who we meet, they're in a prison cell, and they have done something to support Lester in his campaign to take over the city. In the present, though, there's a lady named Dottie and the original sheriff's son, Ezra, and they have led a rebellion against Lester and his people. And we find out that Lester had used the local baseball field as a way of punishing people by he kept them all in cages below the field, and they would raise them up for something he called live pie, where their heads would stick up out of the ground. They'd release zombies. Zombies would eat them. Well, this rebellion has captured the leaders of the new society here, and they're gonna let them do the same thing. And so they put all their heads up through the hole, and the limbless reanimated corpses start crawling at them, and it's all like done up on a like on the Jumbotron, like there's a screen with little graphics. I love that as a graphic designer, I love the idea that there was somebody's job to like, hey, make Lester's face so we can like exit out when he gets murdered. And that's like, okay, cool. That's an awesome little project for me to work on here in my time.
And it's shaped like bowling pins.
Yeah.
Like bowling pins. Yeah. I love that.
And they go through one by one, eating each person in gory detail. And then finally the former mayor's corpse then eats Lester's face as the announcer announces, "We got pie," which, actually, I think that's a line from Revenge of the Nerds, now that I think about it. It's a dirty line. But yeah, anyway, so yeah, they all die. Once the zombies rip your face off, you don't come back from that. Right.
Nah.
Yeah.
Well, you come back.
You don't come back the way you were.
All right, Mondo, what do you think?
Yeah, I really enjoyed this segment, too. I like at the beginning because you see these guys in the cage, the guys and the gals in the cage, and you kind of don't know at first like who are the protagonists and antagonists because you see these people locked up. But then you quickly find out how terrible these people were and what they did, how they killed the old townsfolk and treated them obviously poorly. Love the again, this is another episode that was done with kind of a small set. Like really, the sets are one of those two rooms they show and then the baseball field. But I really like, too, the other aesthetic of when all the zombies, when you see them for the first time, all their faces are torn off. And you're thinking, like, why are their faces torn off? Why are they all like that? And you're it's because all they can eat are the faces when the head comes up to the diamond. And it was very reminiscent of the Leslie Nielsen, Ted Danson Creepshow skit.
Yeah.
Where with the head being buried under the sands, that's kind of the first thing I got from it. And I thought that was like a really cool, whether it was intentional or not, that was a really cool homage to the original Creepshow. But yeah, a classic tale of morality and a classic Tales from the Crypt style comeuppance for the antagonists.
Yeah, I loved when the faceless zombies came up and they're just kind of like gnawing on people. They show like the original person, yeah, the actor without the makeup, kind of do the same thing, so they could like cut between them real close.
At first, they were showing like people's names getting crossed off, but weren't showing any of the violence. And I was thinking like, oh, they didn't have the budget for this. They're just gonna sanitize it. And then they went for it. You can tell they didn't have the budget to do that for everybody, but they did it for the important
David Arquette, the mayor.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I think in the end it was more effective that way.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, this is a really fun, good gory. Feels kind of like a classic scenario kind of thing where, you know, we're gonna do where someone has an uprising and they do something terrible, we're gonna do the same terrible thing to you. With zombies.
I like how they kind of pull the rug out from under you too, because initially I think in most movies we're kind of conditioned, if you see prisoners, to start on their side, like how did they get here, what did they do, and then you find out, oh no, you definitely should not be on their side. The people who are getting ready to murder them, they're the good guys, 100%. And so it plays with your sympathies a little bit, and then you get those awesome special effects at the end.
I will say the weird thing, though, would be, could you imagine, like, all right, kids, go get in the car. We're going on the baseball field to watch zombies eat people's faces.
All right, guys, for the record, it's a football field.
That's it? Oh, okay, whatever.
Oh, was it? I think I have baseball fields.
I was trying to hold on to it, but I just
lost. Jason's over here getting angry. It's funny, though, because I was thinking, because the way the faces are arranged, like bowling pins, diamond, like a diamond, I was thinking baseball diamond.
Yeah.
I love when David Arquette lets loose like this, just like goes all crazy-eyed. I think it's always a good time.
Have either of you guys watched his documentary, You Can't Kill David Arquette?
I should, but no, I haven't.
It's fun. It's about him trying to redeem himself as a pro wrestler, because you do realize he was WCW world champion back in the day.
Yeah.
And he actually didn't want to win the belt because he was a huge wrestling fan and thought it would devalue it. So he actually was kind of upset about it, but he got so much backlash from that. Like later on in his later years, he's thinking, well, I really want to redeem myself. So he became an independent wrestler, and he infamously had a match with the Deathmatch King, Nick Gage, where Nick Gage was going to cut him because they agreed to it before the match, and he freaked out and he caught him like right under the neck and almost slit his artery.
Oh, God.
And the match turns into a shoot for like 10 seconds because Arquette like throws a punch and Nick Gage like basically doesn't stay the fuck down and slams him and pins him. Wow. Yeah. Nick Gage has also been to prison, for the record, for bank robbery.
And he also might be Nick Cage in disguise.
No, Nick Cage can pull off a lot of roles. He couldn't pull off Nick Gage from the Murder, Death, Kill crew. But also, he is great if you guys are fans of Vice does a series called Dark Side of the Ring, where they talk a lot about old wrestlers and tragic stories. They do a whole episode on him, and it's actually really, really good. Very, very good. He's definitely turned his life around. He still wrestles in death matches, but he's not robbing banks anymore or doing drugs.
Always a good move.
Yeah. I'm not really mad if you rob a bank, just saying. Like, it doesn't really upset me that much. If no one got hurt, you got some money. Hey, man. Everyone's got to make a living.
From the crypt.
It's a fucking bank. Who cares?
Pro bank robbery.
Pro bank robbery. So yeah, Lester M. Barkley is played by Dane Rhodes, who has a very interesting resume. He was in The Final Destination, Abraham, Abe Lincoln, Vampire Hunter, Django Unchained, and True Detective. And I love over-the-top performers like this. This is my jam.
Abe Lincoln, Vampire Hunter is a better version of A. Blinken Vampire Hunter.
He's just swinging the stakes all over the place. Can't hit anything.
Master, you've lost your arms, but you've grown some nice breasts.
But yeah, and again, we got some good comic segues. Like, one thing I wasn't sure was it just this town that had the outbreak, or was this a national thing? Because they're
they never
debating calling the National Guard.
I think the assumption would be it's everywhere, because you would think, like, if it just happened in a small town, once like a larger town, especially like in the South, once a larger town got word that something weird is going down in this small town, there'd have been an intervention right away.
Well, yeah, but then they were like, should we call the National Guard? I'm like, why wouldn't you? Like,
I don't know.
You handle All right. As a small town, you keep things local. You take care of things on your own. You know, you don't have to pull in the people from outside. I mean, seriously, that is how a lot of people think in small towns of like, we don't call the FBI. Yeah. We don't call the National Guard. We'll take care of things. We can handle it.
There's two things we love doing. It's oppressing women's rights and taking care of stuff ourselves.
You know, Jody would be the one to suggest like zombie punishment.
Did they already have all the cages under the football field? Notice I said football field. That's for you. Was that already there?
That's a good point. That's a really good point because if not, they'd have had to hollow all that out. That would have taken a long time.
Yeah. There is, I'm blanking on it, there is a major college that has, like, a cadaver study farm or something.
That is the University of Tennessee, by the way. We have a mountain near the University of Tennessee in Knoxville, where the mountain is there intentionally for them to throw dead bodies out there and see what happens in the elements. It's the body farm.
The body farm.
It's cool stuff, actually.
Awesome. Considering it's University of Tennessee, can you volunteer there?
Yes. I mean, volunteer your body to rot out on the mountain, sure.
Oh, God. That made Jason chuckle.
I've heard all the volunteers other football teams. I've lived here
too long. Yeah, I've never heard of volunteers.
Not on this podcast you haven't, so no,
keep it. Yeah. God love Jody. Let everyone else enjoy.
Well, yeah, you get to see David Arquette's face ripped off. It's a good time.
It reminded me of a Tales from the Crypt comic. I wish they had made a version of it for the show, but they probably couldn't. Because in the comic, I don't remember how we get there, but the ending scene is a baseball game, and they're playing with body parts. Like, they're throwing, like, a head, and, like, there's entrails. It's one of the, like, it's one of the ones that, like, got Tales from the Crypt banned back in the day, like in the 50s. But yeah, it's takes place on a baseball field at the end, or a football field. It doesn't really matter. But the point is that, you know, like, it's just blood and guts out on sports. And yeah, I like it. I like blood and guts.
Nice. Blood and guts. All right, let's do our episode ratings. What do we give for Night of the Paw?
Night of the Paw. I'm going to go solid 4 on this one. Not perfect, but really enjoyable.
Mondo.
A little bit higher on it because I really enjoy the way they wrap the characters around and the way you kind of get the motivations and how they kind of mask that a little bit. So I'm going to go 4.5. Not perfect, but I thought it was a really, really, like Jody said, a super fun, enjoyable episode.
Yeah, I'll go the 4.5 as well. This is, again, this is the second time I watched it, and I, like, enjoyed it even more, knowing everything that was happening, kind of seeing the whole picture. So, yeah, I love this episode. Great performances.
Yeah.
Great writing.
I'm sure I'm being
episode. And again, in Tales from the Crypt fashion, it was really carried by two characters, and they had, you know, they both got to kind of, again, in Tales from the Crypt fashion, stretch our acting chops and have a good time with it, and that was really
epic. And we're recording this just a couple days after we recorded the Abigail review with Ken, so maybe I'm, like, thinking, like, I'm too generous with my ratings right now, like...
I was thinking the same thing, but I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to keep giving stuff high ratings
all the time, so...
All right. What are we giving times of stuff, right, Jody?
I'm gonna stay where I was for the first one. It's a solid 4 for me. You get David Arquette's face getting ripped off and zombies and a cool, like, it's just almost like a little taste of a story. Like, it's 10-15 minutes. It's a really short little segment. But it's I want more of this world, and I'd be happy to see more of Muskie Holler.
All right. Mondo.
I'm also sticking with my 4.5 for this one as well. Not quite perfect, but I thought it was a very, very fun, very, very enjoyable episode. And again, nothing wrong with it at all. Just one of those things where I've said it before, if I'm on the fence, it's got to be 4.5.
Yeah, I'm doing 4.5 too. This is just a great episode. If it hits everything it's trying to do, I could watch a whole movie.
Yeah,
but this is the end. You know, seeing the whole progression of things happening with these exact same actors. And I'd be totally down for it. And I'm going to go further and say, like, overall, these two together are probably my favorite Creepshow episode.
It's a good combo.
They work really well together. Yeah. It's a really good little 1-2 punch.
Really good combo. Yeah.
Another thing real fast, let's talk about the first episode. I forgot. I do remember bringing this up the first time we tried to record this shit. And it was that end scene where all the bodies sit up, all the corpses sit up. Mm-hmm. That's straight out of Lucio Fulci's The Beyond.
Yeah.
And I mean that in all the best ways possible. You give me a taste of Lucio Fulci and I'm a happy guy. Mm. Speaking of Lucio Fulci, I got a movie by him that I've never seen before.
What's that?
Ooh.
I forgot what it's called now. Oh, the Devil's Honey.
I've heard of that one.
It's an erotic S&M thriller by Lucio Fulci. So someone's losing an eye in a weird way.
Oh,
we're
yeah.
Find out. And tonight we're going to find out how.
A Fulci erotic thriller. I don't know what pokes the eye out, but something does. Something.
I'll give you the little hint, though. It rhymes with cock. Well, all you Dirty Work fans out there, that's for you guys. Have you guys ever seen the movie Dirty Work?
Long time ago, yeah.
PG-13, but they get away with that line at the end. It's Pops in the bed. Spoilers for a almost fucking 30-year-old film now at this point. But he goes, now they fixed my heart. I hope they can. I can't remember the actor's name, but he's also the grandpa from Problem Child.
Yeah. I know who you're talking about.
And he goes, now they fixed my heart, I hope they can fix something else that's not working right. He was like, I'll give you a little hint. It rhymes with cock. And it's just like one of those great, like amazing delivery. Bob Saget directed that too.
Yeah.
There apparently is a unrated cut of that somewhere. But it's one of those things that like no one can confirm and no one knows where it's at.
They buried it with Bob Saget.
I think before he passed away, Bob Saget was working to try to get that version released. So there's a good chance when he passed away, it might have stalled out. And Norm MacDonald passed away too, sadly. It's crazy out of all three of those. And this is not a knock on him. Like his past is very troubled and very documented. Artie Lang is the only one.
That is kind
still
of amazing,
standing.
Honestly.
He's turned his life around, which is good.
Yeah.
So nothing but respect there, but it's just kind of crazy.
All right, Mondo, song of the day.
All righty. I do remember my song pick, too. I'm going to use the same song pick. And it's by a death metal band, one of the first ever death metal bands of all time. If you could guess the name, it's called Death. They're very inventive. Started out as Ripping Corpse, and they changed the name to Death. And the beauty of Death is, if you listen to the first album and go all the way to the last album, just if you look at the album titles, you can see the progression of the person behind the music, Chuck Schuldiner, who passed away tragically in 2001 of a brain aneurysm. He had a brain tumor and had a brain aneurysm and passed away. Very, very, very sad. An insanely talented musician, but you can see his like progression as a human being through all these. Whereas the first record is called Scream Bloody Gore. The last record he put out before he passed away is called The Sound of Perseverance. And in between there, you went to Leprosy, then to Human, Individual Thought Patterns, and then Symbolic. And it's you can see the progression in his lyrics and how he's being more insightful, more thoughtful, not just gore and violence. But for our purposes in this episode, we're going back to gore and violence. And one of my favorite songs by Death is a little song called Zombie Ritual off of the album Scream Bloody Gore. And the intro to it is like this almost Egyptian sounding guitar riff that's just killer, and then it goes into just pure brutality. And that album came out in, God, I don't even remember. I want to say 90, maybe 89. It might have been 89 when it came out. I'd have to go back and look that up. I don't remember. But a fantastic album, and just no one was doing what they were doing at the time. You had these Florida bands, you know, Morbid Angel, Cannibal Corpse, obviously, the Deicide, that were doing the death metal thing, but not quite how Death was doing. I think Death Ripping Corpse, the original incarnation of Death, predates a lot of that. But find it on Spotify, Apple Music, wherever you find your music, you should be able to look it up.
Thank you. All right, we just did our Abigail review.
One more thing. Also, if you have Amazon Prime, there's a great documentary about Death and the life of Chuck Schuldiner, and he was the kind of guy that he would go to do interviews and he'd wear a white t-shirt with kitty cats on it. Because he was really trying to break down the stigma of the scary metalhead. And I thought that was also really cool, like to, especially to do that back then when it was all a bravado pissing contest. Nowadays, you did that, you would get followers just because, oh, that person's unique. Back then, though, it was actually kind of brave in a way to do that in that homogenized genre.
All right. So we just did our Abigail review a couple nights ago. So horror news is pretty slim pickings, but Jody, is there anything specifically you want to bring up?
What was it that y'all brought up right before we started recording?
28 years later
is coming out. So that's something. I liked both of the first two. You know, 28 Days and 28 Weeks are both great movies. So I'm down for more of that.
And it's directed by Danny Boyle, written by Alex Garland.
Did they release a release date for Terrifier 3?
I'm not sure if a release date has come out. I know there was some news about it with the casting. Let me see what that was.
I thought it was this October, but what they did have was someone did a petition to have a themed popcorn bucket.
Yes, Terrifier 3. I have seen that.
I saw that. That'd be cool.
I saw the article was like the Art the Clown's face, but with the mouth is that Dune popcorn bucket.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I was at the movies to go see Abigail on Thursday, and it was funny because I saw the Dune popcorn bucket, but it wasn't the glory hole one. It was just the normal one.
What's the point of that? Let's see. Why get that one?
Dude, someone definitely has fucked that bucket, and it's more power to him. Like, there's worse things.
That's for the Patreon there.
Would you rather fuck a Dune popcorn bucket or I don't even know part two to that. That won't get me canceled immediately.
Okay, my internet's being stupid all of a sudden. So I'm trying to look it up. They announced a casting thing about Terrifier 3. It's the guy who played Grandpa Munster in the Rob Zombie Munster remake. Like, it's a name.
He's really good.
It's a good name. It's somebody who's done a lot of genre stuff, and I cannot remember it. Can't pull it up.
Like, I didn't love that Munsters movie, but man, they had some amazing set pieces, and some of their performances. I'm not talking about you, Sherry Moon. I'm sorry.
That's Daniel Roebuck. He's going to be playing Santa Claus in this new movie.
Nice.
And it literally lists him as Santa Claus, okay. So I don't know if he's playing like a mall Santa or if Art the Clown encounters Santa Claus. Honestly, at this point with the franchise, I could see it going either way.
Yeah, and I'm okay with whatever they want to do.
The idea that Art like encounters a real Santa Claus and causes chaos, that's a fun movie idea, honestly. Like, I'm down for it.
I'm with you on that, dude. Like, the fun part about Art the Clown is that you can do kind of anything with them and drop him into all these different, almost like the Leprechaun. You can drop him into all these different worlds, and he's gonna 100%. Work. Actually, you know, what else is coming out pretty soon is Long Legs is coming out pretty soon, I believe, in June. And if I just can mention real fast, Long Legs is like the perfect trailer. You watch a trailer, you're intrigued, but you have no fucking idea what's happening. And that's
I hadn't watched the trailer because I've been avoiding it. And I saw it when I went to see either Immaculate or Abigail. I don't remember which one. It was one of them. But it was good. Yeah. It was a good trailer. It made me want to watch it.
Yeah, same here. Maybe you want to watch it, but didn't also, it also left me thinking, like, I don't know where 100%. This is going to go. And I'm pretty excited about that.
So. I'm looking for other horror news. There's an R-rated The Little Mermaid horror movie coming soon. That exists.
I heard that.
I'm not going to get any details. Man, I don't even know. Like, maybe it's great. Maybe it's terrible. Whatever. There's a lot of movies based on old IP lately. There's a new movie coming from the team who made Barbarian called Companion, and it's been rated R for strong violence and sexual content from what I'm seeing here. So, you know. Mm. You're doing all things I like in this movie so far.
Oh, we haven't talked about it. Jason tagged me in something on Twitter. There's an independent team that's trying to bring back the Friday the 13th video game with Jason.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Was I not hearing you again and talking over you?
No.
I haven't heard anything.
Yeah. So that game already got copyright claimed. So fortunately, it's all right. I know. I don't think maybe it got too big or it got too viral and that got too much notice. But
it obviously, like very that could cool happen. But they're trying to take a project that was killed by the shitty creators and resurrect it, and yeah, whatever.
It's still based off someone else's work. Yeah. I was curious how they're going to get around that, but even though it's a dormant work, who knows? What I was going to say was, I did some quick reading on 28 Years Later. So the cast is Jodie Comer, I'm not too familiar with, but Aaron Taylor Johnson and Ralph Fiennes. So that's some good. It's also part of a planned trilogy. And the other two are supposed to be directed by Nia DaCosta.
Okay. Interesting.
They're going to do 2 and 3. They're supposed to be going to film 2 and 3 back to back.
Speaking of trailers, I saw while watching one of the movies in the theater, I saw a trailer for The Strangers for the first time. Holy shit. Good. That movie looks terrifying. Okay, so here's the thing. The original Strangers is absolutely terrifying. Like, I don't know if I can watch that movie again because it freaks me out so bad. It makes me start hearing every creak in my house as somebody walking around. The new one, I think, looks pretty decent, the first honestly. One, it's a lot more like the original Strangers than Prey at Night, which I also love Prey at Night, but for a completely different reason.
I prefer Prey at Night. I prefer Prey at Night. It was more over the top.
Prey at Night is a fun movie. I like both. The original Strangers is a movie I don't want to watch again because it messed with me too much. Sad.
Sometimes I like fun.
Really?
I like fun.
Is this new? Okay.
Yeah, I'm not.
I've turned over a new leaf, guys.
Since when? The past 2 weeks.
Yeah.
All right, anything else?
I mean, I'm just making it up as I go. So, no, you can stop me anytime.
Okay. We want to give a quick 1 minute review on Immaculate. Freaking
great. Love it. It's one of my favorite movies of the year. Yeah, I don't know which one's going to be my favorite, but this one's up there in the rankings.
Right now, it's my number 2 of the year, right behind Late Night of the Devil. And not too far behind either.
I still have Abigail one, but I would flip-flop this with Late Night of the Devil. What I like about this is like it's horror with a capital H, where it's not... It's there's some really cool inventive shots. It definitely goes in some interesting places, but it's not formerly art house, but it's also like traditionally, you could see this as being a traditional horror movie in many ways as well. Like it's got like a foot in each one, which is really refreshing to not either be like a silly ghost movie like The Nun or something completely esoteric.
We talked a little bit about it during the Abigail review, and it's one of the could they have cut some, like Ken mentioned, they could probably cut some time out, but I love those sprawling shots. Like church imagery and that gothic imagery is so creepy, and the way it's shot is so beautiful. But I do think if you wanted for the theatrical release, you could have cut some of that back and then released it on the
same here.
At no point in that movie was I ever bored.
I don't know how general audiences reacted to it. Oh, did you cut out again? I see your face. Like I can tell that you were trying to talk. I think your voice disappeared. Jason, go ahead and talk. I'm talking all over you.
You guys just hit at the same time, and then someone's going to have to take that over. So,
I will say, like, I was liking it a lot, we won't ruin anything, but that final scene is what really put it over the top. Like, that really blew the top off the whole movie, and that was like, okay, damn, that's good. Yeah. That's good.
I mean, a lot of cool stuff they did with it, and again, no spoilers, but they could have really gone the easy cop-out route with that. They didn't. They went pretty hardcore with it, and the science behind the film too, I actually really loved as well.
I think if you're somebody who watches a lot of horror, like obviously all of us do, you know, this definitely harkens back to the 70s nunsploitation stuff because of what you said, that mixture of like a little bit of art house, a little bit of trash, and those two combined makes it, that's my sweet spot. Like a little bit arty, a little bit trashy. I love that stuff. And that's what this movie is. You get all the, you get blood and guts and boobs and all the stuff that you expect. You know, there's a bathing scene that moving on. But it's there. You'll remember it.
Well, and actually, I'll above her performance than anything else in the movie, behind the scenes, yeah. Sydney Sweeney was a big champion for this movie because she auditioned for it a couple of years ago. And then she decided, for some reason, they get made then, and she like decided to go back and say, let's do this.
Yeah, I think I read that it was...
That was really cool of her to her to like really
it was before like she even got cast in Euphoria, I think. And so like she has carried this movie around as something she wanted to make, and she's an executive producer on it. So I got to give her credit for finding a cool script and going, yeah, I want to make this, and I'm not going to give up till it's out there. So that's awesome. Good for her.
Yeah, because she easily could have like probably she could have been the one to water.
I mean, she could be a romantic comedy person easy right now. Like she could go that route if she wanted to, but she's making interesting swings. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, me too. Movie Guide does not. I was trying to find a Movie Guide review for this. I'm like, because they had torn this fucking thing apart. I couldn't find one, but I did find the Parents Watch. And what I will say about this website, just reading through it while we're talking here. Is that they actually approach it from not like a, they're not being slanderous towards the movie. They're just being very factual about should you let your kids watch this. So it says, explaining the R rating, sex and nudity. There are scenes in the movie where nuns are seen in showers and baths. Though they are never completely nude and are wearing transparent white robes, a character is seen nude while being forced to clean themselves, but there's no overly graphic/sexual nudity in the film. Now, I'm just going to read the first line under violence, which is the movie is chock full of violence. Blood and gore are the core of this film's ethos.
You know, the thing is, this is kind of, so if you wanted to, so I do occasionally check some of the Parents Guides, Common Sense Media, stuff like that, just because I want to know what I'm getting into before I watch something with my kids. Like,
I'm with you on that.
Especially if you've got one that's not judgy about it. Like, it's like, okay, yes, this movie is full of sex and violence, but it's a good movie. Like, this is recommended, but only not for, you know, young children or whatever. So I do use those. But also, I remember back in the day, early 2000s, my favorite website for horror was Arrow in the Head. And I know some people probably remember that site. Arrow in the Head, joblow.com/arrow was the link.
Yep.
And Arrow, when they reviewed a picture, what am I, like an old timey? Like, when they reviewed a picture.
When they reviewed a talking.
Nickelodeon there. When they reviewed a movie, part of it would be the movie review. And then they would have like two separate sections. One would be like violence. And it'd be like, okay, so this has got face ripping, you know, murder, blood, blah, blah. And it would tell all the violence. And then it would be like TNA, and here's all the boobs. It's just the same thing, but it's from the other side of it. Like, it's this Arrow in the Head made me want to watch these movies full of sex and violence. These sites tell me which of them not to show my kids. It's handy.
It is handy.
All right. Thank you, Jody. Moving down to our Patreon pits, we asked the question if. Originally, I started with the typical, how would you use a monkey's paw? How would it backfire? Yada, yada, yada. We didn't really get much response to that. But then someone on Instagram, and I'm sorry that we don't have the stories expired, but they said, I would use it to bring back Tales from the Crypt, and then we would see how that would backfire. So I reposted that as the question. We got some good ones. Brittany said, just like Goosebumps, they'll wind up on Disney Plus.
Oh, no.
This was either bringing back a new show or if they put the old show back on streaming. So you can go either one.
Nothing wrong with Disney Plus. X-Men 97. Yes. Have you guys been watching that?
No.
I just finished Invincible last night, too. Jason and I both did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I need to catch up on X-Men 97. So no disrespect to Disney Plus, but they would fucking ruin Tales from the Crypt.
And Janet said too much CGI. She didn't really specify, but what I was thinking was, you know what would piss off fans more than anything in the world? If they re-released Tales from the Crypt streaming 4K, what we've all been asking for, but they replaced the Crypt Keeper puppet with CG.
With a different voice, too.
With a different voice, yeah. Hey, people would revolt.
Looking at you, fucking... Like Spirit Hawk.
Hey, gosh, we're going to tell the guy that voices scary movies today.
Have the guy that voices Goofy just do it. Like, God damn it. We're gonna have a yucking fun story today. And
I do want one episode of this to exist. Just one. I don't want it to take over. I want one to exist.
So. Proof of concept. Like, careful, right. Like, careful what you wish for.
Next year at CFF, we'll record this at the Airbnb.
Yeah, and the other one would be like they edited out all the gore and the sex.
Or they just made like they released it, but it's only the edited Fox episodes.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Man.
I mean, I'm sure this has happened before, though, but you could also say, like, I'd say, man, I'd love to be the best guitar player in the world. But then I couldn't write a song for shit. I'm looking at you, Dragon Force, Yngwie Malmsteen. Great fucking guitar players that can't write a song for shit.
Hey, come on. Through the Fire and the Flame?
The song's fucking terrible. I'm sorry. They're incredibly talented musicians that can't write a song for shit. But to their credit, they cater to the audience they've got, and they have a great audience.
Yeah.
I think the quickest way to ruin Tales from the Crypt, though, overall, is to kill the Crypt Creeper in some way. Like, either to CGI him, change the voice, replace him with some random actor. Like, I can see a new Tales from the Crypt with the Monkey's Paw being, like, directed by M. Night Shyamalan, and he just comes out and introduces every episode. He just stands there in front of the camera, trying to be Rod Serling, but not being Rod Serling, you know?
Okay, the only way I'd allow it is if it was a modern day Christopher Lloyd
playing the Crypt Keeper. Like, unhinged Christopher Lloyd.
Did you guys see that movie he did a few years ago called I Am Not a Serial Killer?
I hadn't seen it yet.
I remember it, but I never saw it.
I highly recommend you guys watch this. I think you'd be right at both your alleys.
All right, dad advice. What we got? Mondo, do you want to talk about our shared bouncing?
I can't hear Jason.
Seriously?
What's that?
Mondo, I can't hear Jason.
Jason's disappeared again. Shit. Can you hear me?
But you can't switch. I can hear Jody, and I can hear Mondo.
Oh, he's gone again.
Oh my god.
Riverside is being a pain. It was good at first, wasn't it? Like, we didn't have these problems for a while.
It was okay at first. Yeah. It got better. And then over the last couple weeks, it's really gone downhill.
Like, I feel like this month, like, it's only been this month we've had connection problems.
Yeah. Like, when I interview the Omnipress guy, should I just do OBS recording too at the same time?
Yeah, I can't.
Probably so.
Can you hear me? Anything.
Can you hear Jason? You can hear me, though?
No, I can't hear Jason.
Jason has been marked tonight. He has been cursed.
All right.
You can hear Jason, right?
I can hear you.
Can you hear me? Should I leave and come back?
Maybe, as long as it wouldn't affect your upload.
All right.
Shouldn't.
No, but I can't hear him, so I don't want to talk all over him. So I tell you what, if you guys are still good, it's going to take a while to upload. I'm going to let this run and just upload, but I can't drop out. Jason, do you want to try changing your mic again? I'm sorry, guys.
Oh, now I can't hear Jason. Now there's actually a mute symbol. Like, it's actually muted in the right corner there. Oh,
wait,
I can.
Can you hear me now?
Can you hear anything?
I can't hear him at all. I can see Jace. I can see him flexing his guns, but I can't hear shit.
Ask Mondo if he thinks
Mondo,
I should.
Do you think he should drop out for a minute, come back? That worked last time. Yeah, Jason, give it a shot.
Get out. Get the fuck out of here and come back.
I'll be the middleman here.
We're just gonna leave all
I did mark all this. So, yeah, I marked when it started. So
I appreciate it. I appreciate it. Yeah, I don't know what they'll have. My internet is completely dropped out.
Well, we've had the problem. Well, and Jason said we've had some problems with Riverside lately, too, of just people dropping in and out a lot lately, which I know the Chris episode was kind of a complication there with that.
It's usually internet connection.
It's weird.
Usually what it is. Because even last week when we did the one with Ken, for some reason, his stuff never
up. You hear me?
Okay, you're back.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dad advice. I can hear you.
We can hear you. Dad advice. Can you hear us?
So we're just jumping in hard on that.
Well,
advice.
Before our own mics cut out again,
we've got 30 seconds.
Jason does not like to jump in flaccid. He likes to jump in hard.
Mono, do you want to talk about our bouncing stories?
Absolutely not. I don't.
Well, we just found out today that both of us worked as bouncers at some point, but yeah, it was a Patreon.
Yeah, that's story. Yeah, that's part. I can talk about that off air. I do not want to talk about that on air. Just to be honest with you, like nothing crazy. Just there were some celebrities and stuff like that. I just don't want to. But I will say my experience as a bouncer was very, very positive. Like I never got in a fist fight. If you just treated people with, I was 18 and I was a kid, but I was also a 260-pound wrestler and football player. So, it was a fun experience. Like, but you really learn, like, if you just treat most people with respect and kindness, mm-hmm. they react very well to it. Like most fight to kick out of like, hey buddy, you got to go because you're a little bit inebriated, and we didn't serve alcohol. I don't know if it's everywhere in Nevada, but in Clark County where I live in Las Vegas, if the gentleman's club is fully nude, they cannot serve alcohol.
I mean, that probably is a good thing. Drunk people and naked women seem like a complicated combination.
Yeah. And it was one of those things where it's like we knew people would sneak in alcohol, but as long as they weren't being disorderly or disruptive or being aggressive, we just kind of let it slide. But the minute they got out of hand, we just have to go kick them out. And the conversation usually went with like, hey, buddy, so you've been drinking, man, you can't drink in here. And they'd be like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And they would just leave. It was never like there's all these. Roadhouse. Not. It was never like Roadhouse.
I did work at the Irish pub. For a little bit, doing like checking IDs. That was the big thing.
That's
pretty much as thick and everything. But so it was right. I used to work at a nursing home, and I was like early 20s, probably like 23, 24. And this Irish pub was like literally across the street. So especially I'd work like Friday nights. So I'd start my shift at the nursing home at like 8:30, work until 5, eat dinner, and I'd go over to the pub at like 6, and then I'd work until like 3 a.m. I'd sleep like most of Saturday.
I remember
things you do when you're young
of having like 5 jobs that were all like one from the other. Just
dude,
I've said this before. I used to work. I was a minister. I was while y'all were bouncers. I was a youth minister. But I would go from my job. I used to work at Panera Bread at the same time, and I did the morning shift at Panera. I'd wake up at like 4 in the morning and go work at Panera all day, full shift. And then go sit in my office and fall asleep on my desk. Like I did nothing while I was in office because I just slept with my head on my desk every day.
I did bouncing in my senior year of high school. So I was only 18. And I got the job because a coworker of mine at Kmart played football for the same school I went to. And one of his buddies was the head of security there and was looking for bouncers. And he said, hey, do you want to go do this? I was like, yeah. So I would go to school usually from whatever, 7 a.m. to whenever, get off, have sports practice. If I had to have sports practice, work at Target for 4 or 5 hours, and then go to the gentleman's club.
So our dad advice is just try to survive your late teens, early 20s, because it's hard as fuck to get through those years.
Dude, enjoy your time. Like realistically, like if I have one regret in life, it was when my daughter was first born. I was very young, so I was working all the overtime I could to make money, and I would give all that money back to not have missed out on some of the milestones I missed out on.
I was working a terrible job that was a stressful, like consuming all my energy kind of job, and like I literally do not remember some of those early years because of the amount of stuff I was going through personally, and I hate that I don't remember it. Like it's like gaps in my memory. So don't work too hard, just in general. Don't work too hard, man. It's not good for you. It's not worth it.
Well, at the end of the day, I'm not going to remember any of those days that I put in 12-hour days or 14-hour days. Like none of those days are ever going to be memorable to me or whatever, but the time you have with your family, your friends, and your interests, those are the memorable times. Like I'm never, I hear people say all the time, like, if I got rich, I would never quit my job. I'm like, fuck you, I'd quit my job tomorrow. Yeah. And I like my job. I do like my job, but I have so many hobbies and so much more ways I can spend my energy out there just doing things I love or helping people even. That would be nice if I didn't have to go to work.
It's the whole living to work versus working to live thing. Like, I do my job so that I can like have money to hang out with my family and hang out with my friends and do cool shit. Like,
yeah.
I don't work because that is me. Like, it's how I pay my bills.
I told my dog that when I leave for work, I'm like, I have to go to work because that's why you have a pretty flower on your collar.
Oh, are you going to get the Lebowski dog sweater?
absolutely not. And reason why, it looks amazing. Yeah, my dogs do not like wearing clothes. So.
If I was going to get a dog sweater, it would be the Lebowski print.
Yeah, and if I'm going to buy that one, then I have to buy the one for myself, and that's just what we're doing for Halloween. And or I could dress my dog up as Walter.
You're out of your helmet. I was on TikTok and like sometimes they show you like movie clips and someone I posted a bunch of Lebowski movie clips. And I'm like, oh, I need to go watch the whole thing now.
It's been too long.
Dude, that's I think I mentioned before, but that's one of the few movies I can watch over and over and over again. Right. And I never get tired of it. I fucking love that movie. It's probably my number one of all time.
All right. Oh, you ordered the figure?
I did order the nice one.
It was a good looking figure.
I can't remember who when you guys tagged me in that. I was like,
putting out a figure of the Big Lebowski, and it's really nice looking.
Yeah.
It's a really cool looking figure.
As a rule, I don't usually buy human figures, like, unless they're like really stylized. Like, anytime they try to do them realistic, you run the risk of it just being weird. Nice. Yeah.
See, my office is absolutely filled with like realistic looking NECA figures.
Yeah,
and I've even gone that
it's the humans that usually.
Well, I've gone the extra step of I went on TeamU and I bought a bunch of like tiny little beer bottles because I'm trying to make them all look like they're like hanging out and partying. Okay. So I hadn't done that yet.
I was wondering where you're going with that.
It's just little tiny beer bottles because I sit staring at this stuff all day long. You might as well have fun with it, right?
I'm not a big Funko Pop guy, but for all you video viewers, you get to see these cool Funko Pops I do have. Of course, I have my Pinhead. My 8-bit Freddy Krueger.
See?
Oh, that's awesome. Got Evil I love Ash, that so much. Like,
holding up a Budweiser. You know, it's good stuff. That's a good time.
And Jody, these last two are just for you. You'll enjoy.
Oh, nice.
Beef Squatch.
And Bob. Nice. That was my only complaint about Civil War is I've watched so much Bob's Burgers that Nick Offerman as the president. I just kept hearing Bob's voice the entire time. Or not Bob. The Great North. Beef.
That's
Beef
that's
from the Great North.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Yeah, I know. Yes, I got my animation domination mixed up.
Here's mine. Satan Flanders.
Nice. They've released I think Super 7 just came out with a nice Satan Flanders like TV show accurate. It's like $70. I haven't bought it yet.
Man,
it looks so good. I missed out in the Treehouse of Horrors reaction. I'm so bummed about that.
I've got one of them. I've got Bart's brother, his fish eating brother who lives in the attic. I don't remember his name.
Is it not cool
or something? It's
it could be like in King of the Hill. In King of the Hill, when Cotton has a new son, he names it G.H. Good Hank.
Oh man, what is it? It's gonna bug me.
What a dick,
Hugo.
Bobby, get my shin, Jerry.
It's Hugo. It is Hugo. Yeah.
Awesome. All right. That's so good.
Well, this is some great podcast.
We're just hanging out, right? Yeah.
We're a bunch of fucking nerds. Like, it's like,
hey, if you don't watch this on video every week, now's a good time because I don't think we've said anything interesting in a few minutes. Yeah. Go watch video. We're just showing off our stuff.
There is a Mitch Hedberg did a live recording once. Yeah. One of my favorite comedians of all time. And he goes, wouldn't it be crazy? I'm recording this special. Wouldn't it be crazy if I just did a bunch of visual humor that none of the listeners would ever get? Like, ah, fuck, look at this dude's crazy shirt. Or look at this.
Love it.
And I was like, that's some Andy Kaufman shit right there.
Gosh. All right. Well, that wraps up another episode. Next week, we will be doing the season one finale of Creepshow with Skinwalkers and By the Silver Water of Lake Champlain. We appreciate everyone for listening. We would really appreciate it if you would give us a rating review on iTunes, a rating on Spotify, and check out our YouTube for videos of these podcasts. Also,
this would be a great time. This episode would be a great time for you to smash that like and subscribe button. And watch this episode. I fucking hate that so much. I want to go kick
and also ass. Follow us on Dads from the Crypt Talk on TikTok.
We have at least a year before that goes away. We're good. Doing fine right now.
If it still exists, when you're listening to this in 10 years.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
All right. With that, we thank you for listening to Dads from the Crypt.
Adios.
Follow Dads from the Crypt on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, or I will follow you to the grave. No, seriously, you really should watch, but be careful what you ask for. You may get it. Ha 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 ha.